League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What does Pat Mahomes have to do for the remainder of his career to pass Brady? Because I don't think he needs to get to seven. To have a better resume than Brady. Some people put it only on the Super Bowl.
I say he's got to get close.
He's got to get a couple more. I think he needs to probably get, if we assume that Pat Mahomes gets the yards record and the touchdowns record, which he's on a trajectory to do so, and I think Andy Reid's critical for his success as well. If he does both of those things and wins, let's say, five titles, I think it's a greater resume than Tom Brady.
See, I think it's about the discussion, right? Dan Marino's in the discussion, and he only got to a Super Bowl in his rookie year, and then he never got to another one. But then he's in the discussion. He's in the top fives, the top, you know, the best quarterbacks of all time come up. But if you want to surpass Brady, then it becomes LeBron Jordan-esque, right? So if you're not going to have the championships, then you definitely have to do what you said. You've got to have the yardage and completions and the touchdown type records all time, because now that elevates you and gives you another bargaining chip that you don't have when the other guy has more titles.
Yeah, I think to me, like, there's a difference between resume and talent. I think Peyton Manning was a better talent than Tom Brady. Peyton Manning doesn't have anywhere near the resume that Tom Brady does. Tom Brady's resume right now is the greatest resume in NFL history. More titles than every NFL organization.
Like, to me, to be honest with you, and you know this coming from me, I give Aaron Rodgers credit for the most physically gifted, with his arm strength and the ability to put it everywhere, quarterback in the game that the game's ever seen. But I'm not going to call him anywhere close to the greatest quarterback because he doesn't have the wins. He doesn't have the resume.
I mean, I think you could make an easy case that Rodgers is more talented than Brady. Like, with all
physical
of his skills
and everything. Yeah.
Now, the resume is nowhere close.
Nope.
Like, no one's close to Brady's resume. I think there have been talents that have been greater than resume, or better than Brady. I think Manning was a better talent. Rodgers was a better talent. I think Marino is probably a better talent. I think that Pat Mahomes is a better talent. I think Pat Mahomes is the greatest quarterback talent we've ever seen, to be quite honest with you. Now, that quarterback talent to become the greatest quarterback resume is going to take the records, and I think at least five championships.
That's what I mean. He's got to scratch it, so he's got to come close to it. So if he's within two on the titles, and he's got all the numbers for the individual stats, then you've got to consider him being, you know, he has every argument then to be like LeBron versus Jordan.
Does it just become a numbers game of, you know, Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl in 2001?
Yeah.
And his last one in 2021? If Pat Mahomes plays just through this contract, retires at 37, not at 45, and Pat Mahomes wins five Super Bowls in 12 years versus Brady's seven in 19 years or whatever he played, like, does that factor into?
To some degree. But I think that the things that everybody is going to look at, because we all know that, you know, Kareem and LeBron both played 20 years. LeBron broke the record in less games.
Yeah.
But did they really focus that much on the less games? No. It was just more or less, you know, the points scored, the average per game, the key numbers that go along with it. And I think that, you know, to Jeremy's point, if he gets the yardage record and he gets all the other prominent records for a quarterback, if he falls a couple titles short, but he probably has more MVP trophies too, well, then it's, you know, he's definitely there.
I also think it's like really, it's so different than LeBron and Jordan for one main reason. Let's say Mahomes gets to six. You know why he doesn't have seven? Because Tom beat him. Like, Tom's last Super Bowl
and he
win
beat him on the swan song
is against Patrick Mahomes. So like, if Tom Brady is the one, like, he beat
Joe's
Patrick
going to the head-to-head card in a tie for playoff position.
I'm saying, like, it's 6-7.
Yeah.
Mahomes has six. Brady has seven. Well, Brady's seventh is against Mahomes. Like, That's a harder, I think, obstacle to overcome than anything. Because Jordan LeBron is hypothetical.
Yeah, I don't love the argument, though, because Tom Brady was in the league this year. Tom Brady played football this year. Where was he? Because he didn't make it to the Super Bowl. We're going to give Tom Brady, like, the allowance that he didn't make it. Because, like, okay, let's use head-to-head. Brady plays Kansas City yesterday. Who wins that football game? We don't know. We have no idea.
But
I would venture to bet it's Kansas City. But why wasn't Brady there? Because he didn't get there. So, like, I don't know if I love the head-to-head in a Super Bowl. Now, if you want to compare the years they were in the league together, let's take Pat Mahomes' first year as an NFL starter, which was, what, 4 or 5 years ago? And then in that period of time, how many Super Bowls did each of them win? Like, to me, you have to look at it from that point of view. When was Mahomes a quarterback one? When was Brady a quarterback one? There's 4 or 5 years there that overlap. How many Super Bowls in those years did Mahomes win? How many did Brady win? But also, Brady's in his 40s. So that's like an Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez thing. We're like, yeah, De La Hoya beat Chavez, but Chavez was late in his career. This was the opposite. This was Brady late in his career,
right,
beating a younger Pat Mahomes. So it's interesting from that front. Now, like what you said in terms of the years, like if Mahomes wins 6 and, you know, how many years did you say?
Like 12 years.
12 years versus Brady winning 7 and what was it, 15,
like 19 20, or 20
19,
years.
20 years. To me, it doesn't matter because whenever you're, you know, you're putting together a resume, it's almost like counting stats. It's like volume. You're putting together all the accolades, boom, 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 not so much the ratio. I think your point about the ratio speaks more to the talent than it does the resume.
See, because I think it's butts, candies, nuts. You can't cry over spilled milk. You can't say, well, he should have been to the one where, you know, at, you know, the game that he lost that to Cincinnati, or, you know, he should have been this, or you could have done that. I don't think those matter. It's just at the end of the day, what did you do? And I think that you do bring up an interesting fact in that when they played each other, Brady was on the downside, but he beat Mahomes. But it's a team sport. You also have to look at who was around them and how did the game, you know, what were the reasons why?
Well, Kansas City scored 9 points. Tom Brady scored 35.
Oh, and Tom Brady's defense was world that year.
They were awesome.
9-1-9-3, Brady also beat Mahomes in the 18 AFC Championship game to that point.
But Mahomes got him in the playoffs, I thought, at one point.
That's the one Joe was talking about. They would have won the game if not for an offside
score. Yeah, but then in 19, I thought Mahomes got him once in the playoffs. I could be wrong.
I don't think so.
I couldn't tell you.
I thought on the way to Mahomes' first Super Bowl, he got Brady in the playoffs.
See, I think it's too early, and I got mad even before this one. But I think that to start the conversation again, you got to have at least two. They talked about it last night to some degree. Like, you haven't really gotten over the hump to be truly validated till you get at least two.
Yeah,
Rodgers only has one.
But to be compared to Brady, I think you need 5.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So there's different levels. Remember, you know, we talked about tiers even with draft picks. There's the first obstacle and tier to get into, which is when you have multiples, now you're in the convo even more. Now you're more validated. But now, how far do you want to go? It's like Justin Verlander. Do you want to be one of the greats, or do you want to be the great? Because if you want to be the great, then you have to factor, there's a couple of different tiers to factor in. The individual stats, the team wins, and then the individual, the accomplishments and the awards. And so when you look at the whole bodies of work, if you're limited, if you're lesser than in team titles, you better be greater than in the individual awards and in the individual statistics.
Yeah, it's almost like a sliding scale to a degree. Lamont brings up the good point, too, about Brady playing in a different era for half of his career. Do we have to consider that Brady is two different eras? Mahomes' stats are going to blow Brady's out of the water because now this is a pass-happy offense. 38 to 45-year-old Brady's not the same Brady in 01. Those first three Super Bowls, Brady wasn't anything special. Mahomes' first three Super Bowls, he's clearly the man.
And that's the thing. That's why the LeBron-Jordan conversation is unfair to a certain degree, because the criteria is different because the rules changed. So in the NFL, it became a more pass-happy, offensive-driven league, whereas in the NBA, it became a less physical, can't-touch-the-shooter league in which guys like Steph Curry, who wouldn't have the durability and the strength to get knocked on their ass as many times as they were going to get knocked down, now can just free-stroke from 30 feet and climb the charts.
Yes, but also, like, and there's always going to be a counter-argument, and that's what's going to be interesting about this one, because I think it is deserved. Because I think this is like Tiger when he started going after Jack.
I think so, too.
Like, this is someone that, like, I actually believe it. Like, he's been to 5 straight AFC title games, 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. And, like, he's gonna push it.
He's never failed to reach the AFC championship yet.
As a starting quarterback.
As a starting quarterback.
And, like, you can talk about the pass-happy league versus when it comes to the stats. Well, you know what? If Patrick Mahomes is closer to Brady, Patrick Mahomes is in a new playoff format. He's playing more games than Brady in the regular season, so it's going to be harder to stay healthy. There's less buys because only one team gets a bye in the AFC. For all of Brady's career, there were two bye weeks. Like there are,
but Paul Gallant and the Brady honks are going to tell you right now that one of the drawbacks is Pat Mahomes had more regular season games. Yeah. So he inflated he inflated his stats.
But that won't impact the Super Bowls.
No. I'm saying statistically.
Yeah, statistically it will.
If they're clean, that will factor in.
If
there's no Deflategate.
Yeah. See, I don't think Brady gets held responsible for that.
Spygate. But I think down the road it will be. Like if Mahomes and Brady are right there, there are people that are gonna use Deflategate and Spygate as their difference.
But
maker
I think the bigger thing is what I said to start the conversation. No, it's all about longevity and health. I think Patrick Mahomes but let me finish this because I think that it's one thing to stay healthy, but it's also he plays the game a certain way because even when he's not completely healthy, he still has to have the ability to scramble out of the pocket. He has the ability to extend plays by moving around. And as he gets older, we don't know if he's still going to have that same escapability and the same abilities that he has right now. But right now, in terms of the greatest 5-year stretch to start a career, it's inarguable.
Yeah, I like the Joe's point about it's Tiger trying to catch Jack. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Keith?
Hello, guys. Good show as usual. I just wanted to give my overall assessment of the Super Bowl. This is just me. The field on the play was outstanding. It was... to quote Rashid, both teams play hard, and it was just the last 2 minutes were just perfect. It lived up to the hype. The on field, the actual field of play was horrible. And I'm like, come on, Arizona, what have you been doing for 2 weeks? More than 2 weeks, because you didn't make the playoffs. You had a month to get that field perfect. It wasn't that week three. It was the Super Bowl. That field was supposed to be A-plus perfect. Players are slipping and losing footing and all that. Come on, Arizona. Do better. You could have done better. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate the call, Keith. Yeah, the field was terrible. I mean, the field was awful. Really bad. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line one more time. Michael, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, how you doing? On that GOAT case of Brady versus Mahomes, Mahomes to the team that Brady was on when they had 18-0 and he couldn't beat Eli, do you think Mahomes closes the deal?
Do I think Mahomes wins with the Giants versus Brady?
No. If Mahomes was on the team when Brady went 18-0 and Eli beat him, the way you're talking head-to-head, Eli's a better quarterback than him.
Yeah, I think, I see what you're saying.
He never beat him head-to-head, and it's his team that matters because if Mahomes was on that team, do you not think with his skills he finishes the field and goes 18-0 and matches Miami?
Yeah, I think he does. I think it's a good point to the counter-argument of head-to-head. What was your second point, Michael?
And also, Brady was given 3 Super Bowls. That game against the Seahawks, if I'm the coach, I'm saying, I'm put 4 fingers up 2 times for 44. It's going to come 4 times. If you stop him, you win. If you don't, you lose. The New England knew if he had run the ball, then he was amazing because they couldn't stop him all day.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Atlanta. Gave him another Super Bowl because now that rookie was running the whole game. They weren't even in the game until they start throwing and gave him interceptions.
To be fair, he also came back from that win, though. Like Atlanta played a part in it, but Tom Brady was down 28-3 in the Super Bowl and came back and won. To Pat Mahomes' credit, though, Pat Mahomes was down 10 points at halftime and came back to win. I think that was only the second time in NFL history in a Super Bowl where a team was down by double digits at the half and came from behind to win. So this wasn't 28-3 like Tom Brady, but 10 points at the half, come back and get a win. Pretty good come from behind effort for Pat Mahomes. 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. The Texans did some things over the weekend. How do we feel about this staff that D'Amico Ryans is starting to put together? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We'll get to the Texans staff in just a moment. 9451, does Mahomes need to end with a different team to cement his legacy?
I don't think so. Because here's the thing. So we talk about it from the Kevin Durant perspective or the LeBron and the whole decision and all those other things and the creation of the super teams. Mahomes is more like Jordan or Brady in that aspect, that if he stays with the team that he has been with his entire career, he's going to get more brownie points. He's going to get more respect and more love than going and joining another team. Because, look, we talk about what happened when Tampa beat Kansas City, but the only reason why Tampa was able to do what they did was not just adding Tom Brady, but they had an all-world defense, and then they kept adding players that wanted to jump on board for a short run to try and be a part of history for Brady, but also get themselves a ring because they knew he had a really good chance in the situation they had created. And so this is the same way Red Auerbach has such a huge problem with Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson stepped into every coaching job that was ready to win and win for a long period of time when he got Michael and Scottie, and then he got Shaq and Kobe, and he started stockpiling win after win after win. It says something more if you take the ups and the downs of your entire career in one place, and you're at the mercy of your general manager and others to put a team around you and consistently still win.
Yeah, I think it's actually more... I think it helps you more if you stay with one
Absolutely.
Team. I don't think that Brady... I mean, did Brady get an extra one because he left New England and went to Tampa Bay? Probably. Like, if he stays at New England, does he finish with seven? Probably not. If LeBron doesn't go form a super team in Miami and then eventually the Lakers, does he have less if he would just stay at Cleveland his entire career? I think so. Like, it's kind of... You can almost steal a championship or two if late in your career you're doing these one-year contract things and going to a team who's turnkey ready to win. Because at some point, we were talking about earlier, like Kelsey's going to retire. They're going to have to figure something out how to do that. I think Mahomes currently in his career is bulletproof. Like I think you can put anything around him and he's going to figure out a way to win with the help of Andy Reid, because I think Andy Reid's half of this. Andy Reid's such a genius. But whenever you start leaving your team and cherry-picking the teams that you play for late in your career for like 3, 4, 5 seasons, you can almost steal a championship or two to your resume. So I think it's going to be more decorated if Pat Mahomes stays with Kansas City's entire career than bouncing around late in his career.
Well, I think there's also a big difference, right? Brady left, and there was this, is it Belichick or is it Brady, debate.
Which, I mean, it could be if Reed's with Mahomes forever.
But see, I disagree. Because what did Andy do before?
He never won.
He got close.
Well, he got close with Philly. That's why
he never got it done. Mahomes got it done with him. Like, that's why I don't think there is this Andy Reid or Mahomes debate.
Well,
because Andy Reid didn't win the big games with Vic and McNabb and those guys. Like,
well, neither did Belichick without Brady.
For sure. And that's what I'm saying. But Brady left, and he ended that argument of, is it Brady or Belichick? It enhanced Brady's legacy. I don't think Mahomes needs to do that because he's already proven
it. I got you.
Like, he's already shown that Andy couldn't get it done without him.
See, to me, it's like if Rodgers goes somewhere else this year and wins another title, it's tainted anyway. Now he's going to catch the heat of a LeBron or a Kevin Durant trying to chase a title and try to create a super team and get out of the situation. It's like James Harden here. Once the situation wasn't sunshine and rainbows, I want out because all I'm about is selfishly trying to win every single year with, you know, wherever, whatever, in whatever city I'm playing in. If you stay in the same city, and to your point, whether Andy Reid's there or not, it would be even more impressive if Andy Reid wasn't there, because then it gives even more kudos to a guy for his talents. And like you said earlier, to make him better, makes people around him better. There's no other, you don't have to leave town to do that. The minute Andy Reid fades into the sunset, if you're still able to be Pat Mahomes and do the things that you do, that's huge feathers in your cap.
I think what could be the most optimal thing for Mahomes' resume is that he stays in Kansas City forever, doesn't do the Brady route where he's going to teams that are ready to win. They just need to insert the quarterback. And he only did that with one team, but there was thoughts he might do it with others. San Francisco came to mind this year, things like that. And then Andy Reid leaves at some point, and he wins a title or two without Andy Reid. Because, look, I agree with what Joey just had to say, but Pat Mahomes does not have a championship without Andy Reid. Tom Brady has a championship without Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick does not have a championship without Tom Brady. Same thing with Andy Reid and Mahomes. But if Andy Reid were to retire, let's say in 3 years, Pat Mahomes wins two more championships with insert whoever the head coach is, I think that adds to his legacy.
Absolutely does.
And then staying in Kansas City for the remainder of his career also adds to that legacy.
There's no question it does, because you think about this too in so many different fronts, what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a guy like Eric Bieniemy who's going to have to get out from under Andy Reid's tree to show that he's capable of doing Andy Reid-type things in order to get where he needs to go. Patrick Mahomes, if he gets out from under the Andy Reid tree and he's still able to win, well, then that's a ton more credit for Patrick Mahomes, because you're like, the same discussion we had about it, was it Brady, was it Belichick? Well, Brady won the title after they split up, and Belichick has yet to do that, so Brady gets more flowers. So when you look at this from this perspective, too, if Mahomes gets out from under Andy Reid and still wins one or two, now he gets even more credit for the ones they won together, and he gets all the credit for the ones that they won when he wasn't with Andy Reid.
I don't think you have to get out from the Andy Reid tree, though. It just can't be Andy Reid. Like, if Eric Bieniemy or Matt Nagy takes over and they're the head coach, they're in that tree.
They're still running the same system.
Right, so. But I don't think that Mahomes needs to get out of the... Like, I don't think... it doesn't need to be another head coach. If he wins with Eric Bieniemy, if he wins with Matt Nagy, to me, that's unbelievable for his resume. It doesn't matter that they're in the same tree, as long as it's not Andy Reid.
But I'm saying he gets more credit if it isn't someone from under the tree. So if it isn't Bieniemy or Nagy and it's somebody else and he wins multiples, like Brady went completely out of the organization.
See, I disagree.
Didn't
with that.
Stay with Josh McDaniels and went to Tampa with Bruce Arians and won another one. So if Mahomes, I think Mahomes gets credit either way, but Mahomes gets more credit if it isn't the same system with the same plays and the same kind of stylistic approach. I think Mahomes would get even more credit.
I think it's equal. I really don't think it matters. Like, if Bill Belichick retired and Tom Brady stayed at New England and Josh McDaniels was promoted and then Brady won another championship in New England without Bill Belichick, I think it would be looked at actually better than his Tampa Bay championship.
See, maybe from the feel-good perspective, but in terms of the impressiveness of the quarterback position, I don't, simply because it's new terminology. It's a totally new playbook. In some cases, it's different. It's different, obviously different cadence, what am I looking for?
The language, everything.
And all those other aspects of it. It's like starting from scratch. Instead of keeping your whoobie, no matter who's babysitting you that day, you know what? You have to start over and completely get in a new comfort zone. Yeah. And I think that's where you would get more credit.
That's a fair point. 9451, same for Gronk and Kelsey. Brady is one without Gronk. No, he didn't, right? Well, Gronk was on that Tampa Bay team, correct?
Yes, he was.
Well, but he won before Gronk.
Oh, before Gronk, that's right. That's a good point about Kelsey.
I mean, does Patrick Mahomes have to have a killer on his team and just let it derail the culture and then fix it to be the same as Brady?
See, but Kelsey's not stupid either. Kelsey knows where his bread is buttered, and as long as he keeps doing what he's been doing with the guys that are doing it around him, he's going to be considered one of the greatest tight ends in the history of football. If he goes somewhere else and he craps the bed, now his reputation and is tarnished a bit. And maybe he's not looked at it in the same light. So he's not dumb. He's saying, look, I got Andy Reid and I got Pat Mahomes. I'm not going anywhere.
It depends on what you want. If you're chasing championships, then it makes sense to stay there. If he's chasing cash, then it probably makes sense to go somewhere else.
See, I would argue if you're chasing championships and individual stats, you stay where you are. And with that, he continues to climb the charts as being considered the greatest tight end of all time. If you go somewhere else and you get the money, you're not going to be considered the greatest tight end or one of the greatest tight ends in the history of the game anymore because you ain't getting titles and you ain't getting the same numbers.
It's crazy, though, how many people jumped off Kansas City after they traded Tyreek Hill, and their offense didn't get the same.
I can't wait for Wednesday.
What's Wednesday?
Bad Take Boulevard?
It's Thursday, Joe.
Thursday.
Thanks for listening
Joe, thanks
to the
for
show.
Listening to Killer Bees.
My days are confused.
What do you have? What do you have on Bad Take Boulevard on Thursday, Joe?
Bart Scott saying that the Chiefs would miss the playoffs this year.
Oh, that's right.
So I got some other goodies I'm looking for.
But even like remember the Vegas totals on like the futures bets for the Chiefs? They had them low. They had them low in the AFC. And it's like, dude, they got Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. They're going to be all right.
My one future bet I won this year was the Chiefs to win the AFC West.
Yeah, I
got them at plus money when they were behind the Chargers.
Yeah, I remember I was all over that. Whenever Kansas City had plus money to win the division, I could not bet that fast enough. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get into the Houston Texans offensive staff that they're putting together. The Super Bowl buried all the news, rightfully. But Bobby Slowick is your new offensive coordinator. What do we think of the staff D'Amico is putting together? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Bobby Slowick is the new Texans offensive coordinator. I have a theory on the whole Cliff Kingsbury thing. It's a way to for the Texans to kind of enhance the search, right? You throw in a sexy name like Cliff Kingsbury. Looks like you're doing some really good due diligence. And then when you hire Bobby Slowick over Cliff Kingsbury, it's like, oh, this Bobby Slowick guy must be pretty good. When you hire Bobby Slowick over Troy Walters and the New England Patriot tight end coach Nick Haley, who already went to L.A. and took the job before the Texans even announced their offensive coordinator, it's like, well, he didn't beat anybody out. This allows the Texans to, like, add some prowess to the name, some cachet. They're using Cliff for clout. And then apparently somebody tweeted this to me, too. For an NFL coach that gets fired for without cause, because, I mean, losing football games isn't cause, that you have to show, like, activeness to get pursue it hired another again. So it's kind of like both people, both sides and both parties used each other. The Texans used Cliff Kingsbury for clout and cachet to their offensive coordinator search, and then Cliff used the Houston Texans to check the box that he's looking for other jobs and can still get paid being out of the NFL.
Kind of like Sean Payton.
What do you mean?
Well, he used the Texans to at least...
Well, Sean Payton actually took a job.
I know, but I'm just saying. I mean, same but different, right? You needed competition in the marketplace to boost your price and validate what you were trying to get. And meeting with the Texans and then trying to, at least early on, send them love and affection on how great they are.
Yeah.
At least made there be a little bit more panic in Denver, whoever else was interested in him.
Well, they wanted DeMeco.
Right, but at the same time, I'm just saying, it just you can try to drive the price up and help each other out, right?
I think Sean Payton was going to anywhere who's going to pay him $20
million. I don't disagree with that, but no. What I'm saying is, under the same circumstances, you're setting it up for it's a win, you know, help each other out, scratch each other's back. I think this was a back scratch. Payton used a back scratch, too. He can use the Texans, he could use whoever he met with, but he was trying to just get, he knew where he wanted to go or where the wife wanted to go.
It's Payton?
I don't know. I think there was a couple destinations that he was willing to go to. Now, of course, money talks, too, and if anybody's giving him 20 a year, it's worth a conversation. But the fact that at the end of the day, he basically got a lot more of what he wanted because he had interest, that it worked in both degrees. And for to take the interview with the Texans made the Texans look good.
Was there interest for Payton by the time he got to that point? Because I don't think that there was. But I'm talking about early on. Sure, early, yeah.
Early on, because the Texans we were talking about, look, Matt Eberflus turned down the Texans for an interview in the last cycle.
Yeah.
So
two cycles ago, right?
Or whenever it was. Yeah. Regardless, there was a lot of talk that no one really wanted to go to the Texans. When Sean Payton accepted the interview and wanted to meet with the Texans, it gave him instant credibility they didn't have for the last two cycles.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So that's where I was going with the kind of scratch each other's back.
They're interviewing, you know, a guy with an NFL resume as opposed to Josh
and
McCown
a Super Bowl,
or
right.
Hines Ward. Right. Josh McCown got a gig, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's
going to
go
Reich.
Be quarterback's coach at Carolina. How are we going to feel if Josh McCown's this hot shot coach? And, like, he's a head coach in 3 years, and he goes to win, like, 4 or 5 Super Bowls. How would we feel in Houston if that's the case?
Fine.
Really?
Yeah, because
I think it's going to change the narrative a little bit.
Nah, because if he really wanted to be a head coach and have that success, then he would have been on the staff here. It bugged me so much that this guy would go through the interview cycles, do all these podcasts, do all these interviews, and say, yeah, I want to be in the NFL. I want to be a coach. Well, then why haven't you been on the Texans staff the last 2 years?
I couldn't disagree with you more. Could not disagree with you more.
Because if they wanted Josh McCown, they could have hired him to be the quarterback coach. But with David Culley, he could be the coach today.
But Josh McCown didn't want to be a quarterback coach. Josh McCown wanted to just spend a few more years with his kids while they were in high school until they graduated, until they were empty nesters, before he went all in on the NFL coaching chase. But if he got, you know, if he jumped the line, which he would have been jumping the line to be a head coach, well, he would have left all that behind to be a head coach.
Yeah.
It's like you. Like, let's say that you want to be, I don't know, run an incredible restaurant in Chicago, like 5-star Italian place. It's unbelievable. You have that opportunity right now. Somebody would hire you as the general manager to a 5-star restaurant in Chicago right this second. Would you take it? You'd be willing to risk it and take it. Would you do it for delivering pizzas?
No.
There you go. That's the difference.
But I also think that it's not going to bother me, because it shouldn't bother people that, like, Mike McDaniels was on the Texans staff in 2008. As a grad assistant.
So was Matt LaFleur. So
and
was
Robert
McVay.
Sala. Exactly.
Not McVay. It was Sala and LaFleur. Well,
McVay
and
was a Gruden guy.
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan.
But, like, that shouldn't bother Texans fans, because they were they're like puppies. Like they're not like they haven't done anything to really deserve.
There's a lot to dissect there because if I hear you right, it should be family first, no matter at all costs. So even if you're getting a chance to be a head coach, if you truly are dedicated to your family for the next 3 or 4 years before you really want to get into it, then you should stay true to that and then be loyal to your family.
Yeah, but those jobs don't come around that often. Like if you have a chance to get that right away and that's the only thing that you would take to leave that life, I can understand that. But then not to do it to be an offensive analyst, to not do it to be a quarterback's coach, I think it's an apples to oranges comparison.
The Texans argument is the Texans fans' argument is going to be that he wasn't, no matter what, even if he turns into be a hotshot coordinator or coach, that he wasn't going to be that when you hired him as your head coach, and he was going to make too many mistakes and be too raw for the situation they were. Because at that point, remember now, they weren't admitting they were rebuilding. So then it would have been there's an argument to be had on both sides. I do think people will look at it a little differently if he does turn out to be something in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree to like with both of you. Like he would have been a puppy at that point, and his career trajectory I think would have been a lot different. I don't think he gets out of the Houston Texans job unscathed. Like if he takes over, if he was the head coach when David Culley was the head coach, he's probably fired by now. Mm-hmm. If he's the head coach whenever Lovie Smith was the head coach, he might have an extra year or two. Like he wasn't in a position to have that immediate success, and he was also going to be such a controversial hire. I don't think it would have made sense. Same thing with like Jeff Saturday at Indy. Like the roster just wasn't good enough for what he inherited. To be able to keep that job, no matter how much Jim Irsay wanted to keep him, they just weren't good enough. So his like plight as an NFL coach would have been drastically different. To where like I'm not going to really like what could have been, because it wouldn't have been. It would have been a completely different scenario, but it would validate that he's a much better coach than people give him credit for. 713-780 ESPN. Now the Houston Texans have announced some names to their coaching staff. We already knew the defensive coordinator when we were on the air on Friday. Matt Burke is coming over, which kind of felt like an underwhelming hire, but it's on the defensive side of the ball. I don't really care, especially if D'Amico Ryans is calling plays. Now, over the weekend, we found out a couple of other names that are being added, like the Strossners, the offensive line guy, the Kiffin defensive line, Frank Ross staying on as the special teams coach, I should say. There's been rumors about Kubiak as the running game coach. John McClain said it's going to happen, and then he's like, whoops, I'm an idiot. It's not done yet. So hopefully it happens. Who knows? But the two big names that I love, one, quarterback's coach Gerard Johnson, which welcome back, Humble High School grad, went to Texas A&M. I'm going to be rooting for the Houston Texans almost solely for Gerard Johnson. That's how much I love that hire.
Call him and ask him for tickets.
And then also the offensive coordinator they hired, Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick, who of course was the passing game coordinator under Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. This was the popular name from the very beginning. Ultimately, it is him that is taking over. It's not the sexy, buzzy name as Cliff Kingsbury, but honestly, more like thinking about it more over the weekend, I believe it's a better style than what's being played in the NFL, West Coast versus this air raid. And then secondly, I think it fits D'Amico Ryans better as well.
I was going to say, too, before we get off the Kingsbury conversation, the other thing that I would think that if the Texans were who we thought they were entering this cycle of the coaching search, there you go. I think that it was in their best interest to talk to Cliff regardless, because he, as Joe pointed out last week, he scouted and gave the first scholarship offer to a Bryce Young. He knows a lot about Bryce Young, but then he can say what he can see, and he can give you some intel in terms of maybe it's just from D'Amico's standpoint of learning what he learned at taking over as a head coach, going from a coordinator, but then from an offensive and stylistic approach, to your point, maybe it's things, the do's and the don'ts, and who, you know, quarterback styles that could fit that. And then just seeing if there was ultimately a fit, but more so just picking the brain and having a conversation with an experienced NFL coach and coordinator, just to get all the intel you can as you get ready for your first season. And if it happened that the conversation was he was open to being a coordinator and taking a step back to get back into the game and stay fresh in the game, then that's a good conversation to have, because that's a good name that has a lot of talent associated with it, not just a name in cachet alone.
Yeah, I don't know if it matters him telling you like the quarterback options, because I think they're very different based on the style of offenses.
I'm just saying what he's seen of the quarterbacks. He's an offensive guy, mm-hmm. So he knows offense in the NFL. So he can,
you know. Think he's watching them though?
I think since he quit or he was fired, and since he walked away, I think he's had a lot of time on his hands. But I think all football guys pay attention to football from time to time. Now, when you're in the middle of an NFL season, no. But I think that
I don't think he was watching him in Thailand.
Okay, I don't. We don't know how long he was there and what he was doing.
I think it's a safe bet to say he wasn't watching him in Thailand.
You know, if he's coming to meet with the Texans, are you going in without doing any kind of prep and homework? I think when he comes in, he knows inevitably they're going to ask him about college quarterbacks. I would think that he did a little quick study. I would think that he looked at some film. I would think from measurables and body type and things like that, he would know what his feelings have an opinion on them.
But his, but like that's kind of the point, though, of like the quarterbacks that he would like based on a like measurement point of view, I think are drastically different for what Bobby Slowick is
style versus style. I get, but I'm just saying, as an offensive mind in the NFL, especially dealing with a guy that was small like Kyler Murray, that he would have an opinion on the guys that are going to be at the top of the draft class from a quarterback perspective.
Can you win with a small quarterback in the NFL? That type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it.
I could see that.
So I think that's it. Look, I think we were all convinced that the right choice to continue this positive momentum for the Texans was going to be Slowick. And the fact that they got him is, I think, is another win. It's another positive. I think that the only thing that set it back a little was, just again, cachet and name alone, Cliff Kingsbury was a bigger name, a sexier name that people were like, ooh. And we stopped everything we were doing to say, if that happens, I took it so far as to say he could be big brother and guide D'Amico through the trials and tribulations of your first time being an NFL head coach, let alone what he could do for the offense.
Yeah.
So I think that there was a lot of positives to be had by meeting and having a conversation with Cliff. The problem was it drew away from what otherwise would have been another huge win in terms of the coordinator market for hiring Bobby Slowick as your offensive coordinator.
See, I think it gave Bobby Slowick some rub. They picked Bobby Slowick over Cliff Kingsbury.
I get that.
Oh, this Bobby Slowick guy must be pretty good. I think it gave him a little bit of rub. And I also think it was, remember when, was it Garofalo that reported that he was in town meeting with D'Amico? I think it was Garofalo.
He was first, yeah.
Remember he said that he was interviewing for an offensive, like he was interviewing for a position on the offensive staff.
I was just thinking that.
But like, he didn't interview for the offensive coordinator. I wonder if that was a giveaway, too, that it was kind of like this Fugazi interview to check off some boxes from a Texans point of view and a Cliff point of view.
Florio's article says Kingsbury is presumably a candidate to be the club's offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Florio didn't have reporter.
Like no one is saying that he interviewed technically.
But later in the day, as more and more people reported it, wasn't there a spin that he was going to be vice president of football or vice president of offense or assistant head coach?
I never saw that.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it. I know some people started running as the OC interview.
Yeah, some people ran
with it. But that's never been said.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any outside shot that, like, Cliff Kingsbury is the passing game coordinator for the Texans next year?
Or a chief, maybe like, I was gonna say, like a consultant, assistant head coach.
Yeah, like an assistant head coach, which I mentioned last week, but more so to, like, the Kubiak role that he had with Minnesota, where he was the offensive consultant, but they had him in the booth on game days.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give that extra...
I honestly think
resource
it was,
in the room.
I think it was Cliff appeasing his contract so he can get paid, and I think it was the Houston Texans adding some clout to their offensive coordinator search.
I really think
it was that simple.
I think that's fair.
713-780-ESPN. Thoughts on Cliff's interview on Friday? 713-780-3776. Of course the Dodgers were cheating. We tried to tell you this. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
So the Dodgers were cheating too. We've been telling you this all along. Yep. Everybody was cheating. Everybody was taking signs. It was the worst kept secret ever. I saw Brian McCann being interviewed after the 2017 World Series because all this thing is like recycling. He's like, yeah, we basically had to change signs every other batter when nobody was on base. That stuff was going on all throughout the league. Anybody could see it. But everybody was like, oh, no, the Astros are the only one. It's worse than steroids, blah, 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 blah. But this came out. This was Evan Dreilichsbrook, right? This is where the excerpts are coming from. How do you say Evan's last name? We're going to have him on here in a couple weeks.
Drelick.
Evan Drelick, who almost had his credential taken away when he was part of the Houston Astros beat. I wonder if there's some bitterness there. They went off to the Boston Globe, then went to the Athletic. Of course, you know, broke the story that said that the Astros are sign-stealing amongst a Major League Baseball problem. But some excerpts coming out from the book that blast the Dodgers and accused the Dodgers of cheating in the 2018 World Series as well. An unidentified member of the Red Sox accused the Dodgers of engaging in the same kind of subterfuge. The Dodgers have always been the thing that bothers me the most, said the member per the Boston Globe, where Evan Drellick used to work, because they're the biggest cheaters in the whole expletive industry. They were doing it against us in the 18 World Series. They got caught by Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball did nothing. Pretty damning quotes accusing the Los Angeles Dodgers of cheating. Go look at some of the Los Angeles Dodgers in that 17-18 era and see how they did post-2018.
Plus, also look at and remember now, Eric Kratz, when he came out with the podcast that got a lot of run, he said when he was catching for Milwaukee and they were playing the Dodgers in the playoffs, they knew that the Dodgers were doing the cheating, the sign stealing, and doing as much cheating as they possibly could. And again, they just had to make the best of trying to change their signals and prevent them from getting all the intel that they could, as opposed to Major League Baseball stepping in and doing something about it. And you can go on and on with all the different people that called out. What's Ryan Spader was another guy that called out the Dodgers and was talking about the fact that they knew the Dodgers, like the Yankees, with the cameras and all the different things that they were doing in center field. But then, it was not going to be pursued by Major League Baseball, and the stepchildren that were going to be the ones that were going to be called out and be the face, the poster children of all this, was going to be the Houston Astros. And you start wondering, if the Astros don't win, I was thinking about this morning, and I was curious your guys' thoughts. Were the Astros the poster boys because they won it in 17? If the Dodgers end up winning the World Series, and then there's rumors of cheating at all, do the Dodgers become those poster boys, or is it always going to be the lesser market size?
It was the Astros all along for a variety of reasons, in my opinion.
I think there's one.
You think there's? I think there's two. Two specifically. Evan Drellick, what are we calling him?
Yeah, Drellick.
Drellick.
Fires?
Two. Exactly. That's the second thing.
Okay.
Evan Drellick, one, was bitter to the Houston Astros because he didn't like the organization, and they threatened to revoke his media pass while he was covering the Astros beat. And I think he forever harbored some bitterness towards the Houston Astros, which isn't like he isn't the only media member to do that. Like the media hated the Astros because they acted with arrogance. Jeff Luno acted with arrogance. The whole Taubman situation. Allison Footer hated the Astros. I think Chandler Rome doesn't really like the Astros. A lot of the national people didn't love the Astros because of their attitude and the way that they treated people, the way that they reacted towards the media. And I think Drellick here had some bitterness involved that, you know, the Astros were the Astros. What was he covering it with? Was it the Chronicle?
Yeah, he was Chronicle. Yeah,
he was the Chronicle beat writer. His editor had to defend his honor to keep him on the beat. So the Astros were trying to get him fired. So you can understand that would have some bitterness attached with
sure.
that. And then the second thing was that they needed a player to go on the record, and Mike Fiers was willing to go on the record. No one else was. And it was directly about the Houston Astros. So I think it's those two things, probably the Fiers thing more than anything
no,
else.
No, actually, now that you put it that way, I think that it is the two things that make
the fire.
Yeah, it's Drellick had an axe to grind.
Yep.
And you got the biggest rat in the history of sports.
Because yeah. I think, that's a great point by both of you, because, you know, in thinking it, I was just wondering, was there ever a chance that anybody else could have been the poster children than the Astros?
I don't think.
And I think you're right, because I think if you're a player involved in this, the last thing you're going to do, whether you were involved or just connected to it by being on the team, you're not going to sell them out because it sells yourself out in the process, and it's a bad look for you, your career, your stats, and whatever. I don't know what kind of player this person was if you're going to come out from the Dodgers.
Well, they didn't go on record.
That's what I'm saying. But if you did find someone that would, the Dodgers had a lot of good players, but, you know, there were some people kind of hinting, was it Chase Utley? Or was it, you know, who were the guys cheating?
I saw somebody say Mookie Betts.
And then other people saying, you know, because this is like, we go up and down the list of the former Red Sox that were on the Dodgers as well. And don't think just that everybody that's been through cheating doesn't have their own that they bring to the table, just like Beltran and Cora did when they came here. So it's curious, but at the same time, it's just infuriating because, you know, Major League Baseball made the Astros the poster children. They wanted to make this all about Houston. They've been in complete denial, and we've talked about it over and over again. We don't know when and how distant the player or players have to be to come out and say, I got nothing left to lose. Now I can spray some bullets, write a book, do whatever to tell you what really happened. But we've been adamant all along that this hasn't been just an Astros thing. Yeah. It's been a league-wide thing.
And I honestly believe that people like in the game, inside the industry, maybe not the writers and the media, but the executives, the GMs, the managers, the players, I don't think they care at all about this. And they've even acted that way, too. I always point to Alex Cora having a job immediately after his suspension was over. A.J. Hinch immediately had a job after his suspension was over. Toronto spent big money on George Springer. Minnesota spent big money on Carlos Correa. They
and Marwin
care.
Gonzalez before that.
Marwin, yeah.
And Marwin was deep in it, and they gave him 14 a year.
They didn't know it yet. The story hadn't come out yet with Marwin Gonzalez. Marwin Gonzalez is a free agent right after that. So the story hadn't come out yet. But all of these people that were involved immediately had other jobs other than Jeff Luhnow. That's because people didn't like Jeff Luhnow. And I think he's gotten blackballed out of baseball. But all these other people, they have no issues at all. Even the original story from Rosenthal and Drelick, and the reason they used Rosenthal is because Drelick needed some clout associated with the story because he knew that his name alone wasn't going to push this across. The headline from the original story was the Astros stole signs electronically in 2017, part of a much broader issue for Major League Baseball. Everybody in the game knew it was wildly going on. But because Drelick, I think, had an axe to grind, and because Mike Fiers was willing to go on record, it made the Astros, who's mid-market, they're not the Yankees, they're not the Dodgers, they're not the Red Sox, it made them the easy target.
But also, Rob Manfred, they only punished the Astros. In the tweets we're using here, there's a follow-up that Jock Peterson went into the visitors' clubhouse where Chase Utley is sitting with an MLB official and says, quote, hey, did you get the signs yet?
Yeah.
Major League Baseball knew. Mm-hmm. Eric Kratz said that the Rockies were stealing signs by using a massage gun. I was at a Cubs game versus the Brewers in which Yu Darvish stepped off the mound because he thought the Brewers were giving signs from right field. Joey Votto, all these guys have said everyone's cheating. But Rob Manfred is a coward and not punish anyone else. And frankly, all these guys have the opportunity to ask Rob Manfred this question, to read these quotes verbatim back to it, and they do not. No one will put this guy in the hot seat.
The reason that you can't, that he can't punish him, though, is because of the collective bargaining agreement.
But make him acknowledge it.
That was the Astros' like mistake in all of this, is that they were willing to comply with the investigation when, if they would have just said, no, we're not going to comply with the investigation, then this story might get written still. It still would have gotten written. But if you don't take part in the investigation, you would have been safe by the entire collective bargaining agreement. It's why the Red Sox in 2018 did not speak to anybody in Major League Baseball. That's where the Astros went wrong. Any sort of threat that there was going to be suspension there would not have been something that was fruitful.
No, you're absolutely right. And look, when you look at the bigger picture and everyone to blame, and to your point earlier, which is this hammers it home, the fact that basically Mike Fiers has been blackballed by all of Major League Baseball, with the exception of one team that had one of the lowest budgets that was just trying to catch cheap pitching and do what they needed to do to survive. Almost everybody else, players and teams in baseball, were like pissed off at Mike Fiers because they know forever and a day, sign stealing's been happening. It's just now that you're implementing technology to get it done and cameras and Apple Watches and things, instead of just being savvy enough to be able to pick up indicators and be in the right position around the stadium to see certain views of the catcher and the third base coach and whatever and the manager. That's the thing. People knew that it was forever and a day since the sport started, there's been sign stealing. So everybody was doing it. I think there was a lot of people pretty pissed off at Mike Fiers in the fact that if he doesn't blow the whistle and he doesn't make this a massive deal, everybody's still doing it. Everybody, you know, it's who's best at being able to capitalize on resources and otherwise to do it. But it's part of the game in most people's mind.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Our Mailbag Monday, we do it every Monday at 2 o'clock. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask us about. How was our weekend? What does Joe George like to do on his Saturdays? How did Andrew Carlson's date go? 713-780-3776.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.